What kind of soil is your heart? The following program is brought to you by the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, and I am Pastor Schultze. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy divine light on the declaration of thy sacred word. In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear ones, our text today comes from the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And now we're going into what is commonly called the parable of the sower. When I read this passage again and again, the passage of the parable of the sower, I begin to wonder, why do we call this the parable of the sower when it does not really say much about the sower, except that he went forth casting out seeds? It seems to me the whole parable of the sower is a parable about soil. Four different kinds of soil: wayside soil, stony soil, soil infested with thorns, and good soil. And that brings me back to the question I had at the beginning of this broadcast. Does your heart represent wayside soil, stony soil, thorn-infested soil, or good soil? Let's have this parable now, as Jesus gives it to us. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. And when he was done, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. Now, my friends, we find Jesus explaining the spiritual meaning of the parable. But I will not take time to read it to you because I only have 15 minutes of a radio program. So listen to me. The first thing I noticed of significance in this parable is that all soils received the seed. The seed was sown on the wayside soil, on stony ground, on thorn-infested ground, and in good ground. There's not a place of which the sower said, "There is no hope here. I shall not waste my time sowing here." Jesus said, "Preach the gospel to the whole world and to all nations. Don't leave out a single nation, a single village, or don't leave out the tiniest island. Don't say that these people are of a different religion. I shall not sow there. Don't say this village is too wicked, like Sodom and Gomorrah. I shall not sow here." Jesus wants the seed sown to all the world and to every corner of the world. There was a city called Nineveh, we read about in the Old Testament. And there was a prophet called Jonah, and he said, "I shall not sow seed in this city of wickedness. I shall not cast pearls before swine." But God said, "You go." And as soon as Jonah cast out the first handful of seeds, the whole city was on its knees, repenting and fasting and crying out to God for mercy. It's not up to you to say where to sow or where not to sow. It's up to God. And God says, "Throw the seed out everywhere," and you just obey him. No, my friend, if you cast your seed onto thorny ground, or if you cast your seed in a city or a village of wicked people, if you cast your seed into a town of pagan religion, it does not mean you cast your pearls before swine. This is what it means: don't cast your pearls before swine. I give it to you from John Wesley, the great man of God of England. He says, "Do not talk of the deep things of God to those you know to be wallowing in sin, or to those who are profane." So, my friend, remember that pearls and seeds are not the same thing. Pearls are the real, deep, precious things of God and of his kingdom. Seeds are just that which begins the process towards the great deep things of God. Cast your seed everywhere. It means that our Jesus wants everyone in the world to have a chance to be saved, no matter what the condition of the heart may be. So, do not just sow in good soil, but also sow in not so good soil. Now, the second thing I noticed here is we learn the fault of people not being saved does not lie with the sower, nor with the seed. The fault lies with the soil. The same sower sowed the whole field with the same seed, with the same purpose, with the same diligence, being totally impartial as to what the soil looked like. He cast the seed out with his left and with his right hand. This also tells us that the sower cannot control the harvest. This marks the limitation of man and also of God in moral operations. God has limited himself not to force any man against his own will to be saved. Oh, we must think twice before we say, if a soul is not saved, that's my fault. That lies with us the sowers. No, no, no. The Word of God is always good. Even when the preacher is not so good, the seed is still good. If you've studied a little bit of church history, my friend, you can stand in shame of how many bad things happened in the church. You learn about corruption, you learn about jealousy in the body of Christ and strife, and that the abuse of the office of the priesthood and of the pastoral minister. You learn, my friend, of religious wars which killed thousands of people. You learn about all these things having gone on for 2,000 years, and you begin to wonder, how is it, with all this going on for 2,000 years, how is it that despite of it, the Christian faith is the fastest growing faith in the world, and that it has continued to grow unabated? There's never been a century in which Christianity did not grow, no matter what happened in the church. And my friend, it is now the largest of all faiths in the world, sweeping millions of people into the kingdom of God. How is it? My answer is simply this. It is because the seed is good. The seed is the Word of God. The seed is good. The seed is anointed of God. Even if the preacher fails and is not at his best, even if the church has corruption in it, there's always one thing that is buried in the bowels of the church, and that's the seed, that's the Word of God. And despite all the corruption that might be about it, there never has been, never will be, a corruption of the seed, because it's directly from God and God anointed. It's a beautiful passage in the Bible, in the Philippians chapter, the first one. I want to read it to you. It says, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some preach Christ out of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein I do rejoice, yea, and I will rejoice. So, why does the Apostle Paul rejoice that the gospel is being preached even out of wrong motives many times? It is because the seed is good. The seed is uncorrupted. The seed will do its work once it connects with good soil. Oh, my friend, every time that good seed connects with good soil, you have an explosion, a spiritual explosion, a coming of divine life that will bring forth fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, no matter what the sower is all about. I recall when I was 16 years of age, I was so hungry to be saved. I was hungry for someone to give me the Word of God. And whether the preacher would be good or whether we'd be a bad one, or whether the preacher preached out of selfish motives, or whether he was sincere or not, did not matter to me. What I needed is the pure, unadulterated Word of God. And when that good seed was placed into my good, hungry heart, my friend, eternal life began with me. So when I talk about the Word here, a seed, I'm talking about the Bible, because the Bible is anointed. And if any other writings also are anointed, then they will have a similar effect on the sinner. Joseph Parker, a Bible scholar, says on this text, quote, the fault is not the instrumentality, unquote. You see, if there's no conversion after the word has been sown, after the word has been preached, it is simply the fault of the sinner. Let's stand back a little and look at this parable from a distance. Let's pull it out there and away from the rest of the Holy Scriptures for a moment. Let's make it stand on its own feet and apart. Let us ask this question. What is the one great, overwhelming, unquestionable point that Jesus tries to convey to us with this parable? And the answer is this, as you have already surmised from what I said, when it's all coming down to the bottom line, when a sinner stands before the judgment seat, my friend, he cannot blame anything or anybody for not having been saved but the condition of his own heart. He cannot blame God, for God sent the sower. He cannot blame the sower, for the sower did the sowing. He can only blame himself for not having received the seed and allowing it to grow. No sinner can excuse himself by saying, well, my father did not take me to church. My mother did not pray enough to get me saved. He cannot say, my friend, well, there's nobody in the church who lives it. The word from Jesus, the judge, will be, you have heard the word, or you have received the word, but what have you done with it? Why did you not receive it as you should, cultivating it, appreciating it, letting it grow? Because you have not appreciated it and taken it carefully and thoughtfully, therefore you shall be cast into everlasting flames. Oh, the bottom line is, God is good. The sower is good for having sown the seed, and the seed is good. The blame is with the heart. Oh, dear one, even Jesus, the most anointed of all, that ever went out to sow, Jesus, the Son of God, was not able to win hearts to come to him in any great number when he was on earth. In the end, the people killed him. And so the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest of the apostles, anointed of the Lord, found most of the seeds he sowed not being received. You and I will do no better, my friend, than these, because a servant will not rise above his master. When you find the seed you sow is not being received, then don't be so hard on yourself and blame yourself. The seed has a power of its own to do its work wherever the heart is good, is ready to receive it. So then there are four kinds of hearts. They are reflected by four kinds of soil. This is why I said this ought to be called the parable of the soil. So there is a stony soil, the wayside soil, the thorn-infested soil, and there's good soil. And my friend, next week I'll talk to you in more detail about these different soils. As I close, also remember this. The reason for the phenomenal growth of the Christian faith is because Jesus, the Master Sower, is alive. And his seed is good, uncorrupted, holy, and transforming hearts wherever hearts are ready to receive it. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will indeed help everyone who listened to this program to see the awesome responsibility that rests upon us once we have heard the Word of God. How we receive it is a matter of life and death. Have mercy in us and help us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for listening to the Call to Obedience radio ministry. May the seed of God find good soil in your heart. Tune in again next week on the same station at the same time. I am Pastor Schulze, and goodbye now.